Get started tonight at 7 o'clock. Welcome to Anchor Baptist Church this evening. And we got some more cars are coming in. Kind of a yucky day today, but I appreciate you making your way here. And so let's all get a hymn book and stand together. We'll start the service off with Brother Tim leading us in a song.
Number 345. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's all stand. We'll sing all three stanzas. 345.
Blessing on the service. Again, good to see all of you here with us. And good to see Anthony here with us tonight. Brother Anthony, good to see you. How about lead us in prayer? Do you mind doing that? Yes, indeed. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Again, good to see you here this evening. And going to get kind of cold over the weekend, but I think it'll be all right. They talk about a little, that S word. You know, not, I mean, early enough to know, gee, I think you have to go kind of north of here to really see any. Judy's a little bummed because she, you know, when it snows, school's out. You know, so she thought, well, you know, you get a call that they don't come to school. Not snow, and they're going to get some up there a little bit. The problem is they're out tomorrow and Friday for winter break, so she's off anyway. So she said, man, I'm bummed out about that. She was hoping she'd get a call. You know, when you know you have to wake up early, like at 4:45 in the morning, and then you get a call or a text that says school's closed, and then you just roll over. Well, unfortunately, she's not going to get to enjoy that good news that way. But anyway, she'll get a couple days off to rest, so I'm glad for that. But I hope everybody will be okay, and I hope you'll have a good rest of the week. Let me just mention some prayer requests real quickly before Brian comes, and we'll have another song. Miss Kelly Richardson has actually got three in her family. She is having some oral surgery coming up, or looks like it may be next week. And so pray for her. She's had that. And then her sister-in-law, Becky Johnson, is having some complications from a colonoscopy, some cramping and other things. And what she sent me was she's at the emergency room. Is she still there? Okay, so pray for Becky Johnson. That's her brother Steve's wife. And then their son-in-law, Brandon, has also got some surgery coming up, right, on Friday. And so up in Clemson or up in that area, the upstate. So pray for him up that way as well. So a lot of things going on in their family. So please remember them in prayer. Good to see Brother Sonny here. Still got a little left over from the knot on his head. And I think he wears that as a badge of honor now, you know. Makes people feel sorry for him because thinks his wife beats him, you know. And so that makes people feel good for him. But good to see you, Brother Sonny. I appreciate you being here tonight. God bless your heart. All right? All right. Any other prayer requests that need to be mentioned that I have forgotten? Continue to pray for Ms. Ramona, of course, Ms. Bobby, all of our seniors. Yeah, Ms. Hunter, my sister-in-law, that's right, BJ, her mother, we've had her on the prayer list, Gladys Hunter, for several times, and she is on life support now. She's in the hospital and started failing, and they put her on life support. I do not have any news about what's going to happen from there. All the girls were all there kind of trying to decide what to do. They thought she'd had some pretty bad brain damage from being unconscious. However, now they're not so sure if that's the case. So they're really going to do it. They're going to do a test in the morning to test her brain waves and things, whatever they call that, to make sure and see if it's operating. If it's not, then obviously more than likely she's not here anymore. And so you pray for that family. Two of the girls, of course, BJ saved, and then she's got a sister that claims to be saved, then another one who's Catholic and doesn't really know. And so Jeff texted me today a couple times and told me about praying for the family and praying for him to try to be a witness to the family during these times. So please remember that if you would, okay? Somebody else got a prayer request you want to mention? Yes, ma'am. All right, so pray for Brother John Richardson. All right, anyone else? All right. Okay, Brian, you got anything? Have anything? All right, come on then, Brother Tim.
All right, 477, let's stand and sing the solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less. All right, you have the page, 477, let's sing. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest grace, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Oh, the Christ was solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness lands in lovely face, I rest on His unfailing grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness. Children, you're dismissed from 10 and under, and we're going to shake hands and have a good time. Amen.
right. Thank you so much. Thank you. Real quickly, while folks are kind of finding their way, Wednesday night's pretty important. Something you'd like to share with the folks? We'd like to hear from you. Anybody got a good word for the Lord tonight? All right. Go right ahead, sis. All right. Amen. Yeah. Tell about the note on the counter, too. About that. Amen. That's water. She told me that on the phone the other day. I said, you've got to tell folks that. That's a blessing. Somebody else got a word of testimony. You just want to brag on the Lord a little bit tonight. Been good to you? God hadn't been good to nobody here, huh? Wow. Knew when I said that, that'd get hurt. Oh, yeah. Amen. Somebody else. Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother. Amen. Right. Amen. Thank you, brother. I can imagine how it scared the little lady next to him. I sure can. Oh, mercy. All right. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Amen. All right. One more. If we have one, go ahead. Right. Amen. Exactly right. Amen. All right, Brother Tim. I guess we need to take the offering, don't we? I'd rather hear the testimonies, but come on, let's go ahead and do this, and then we'll have our special. Get done taking the offering. If you're dying to say something, I'm gonna give you another shot at it. So be ready. Father, we love you tonight, and thank you for the testimonies we've heard thus far. Lord, I'm glad to hear folks bragging on Jesus and thanking the Lord for how things happen, maybe don't happen in our lives. Lord, it's amazing as we sit back and realize that the hand of God, Almighty God, the Lord, as I'll be preaching on tonight out of the 18th Psalm, how He is involved in our lives. I mean, from the Word of God and showing us things from the pages of God's Word, to making sure that a lock on the front door works. I mean, those are, and people might think that that's just foolishness, but it's not. And that's the God we serve, who wants to be involved in every minute detail of our lives. So, Father, I pray that when we see Him operate, we thank Him, we love Him, we honor Him, we voice out loud that we love Him and we thank Him. And Father, I pray that tonight in the Word of God that You'll speak to our hearts. Now we have opportunity to give a little bit of that which You blessed us with. So bless the gift of the giver and bless the special music to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Comes to sing for us. All right, I'm going to give one for my Sunday school class. I'm going to brag on them a little bit. I appreciate their faithfulness. We're starting to build a little bit, and you look around, you see 10 or 12 here tonight, and I appreciate their faithfulness. Some of them can't be here because of work, different times, but they're faithful Sunday night, Wednesday night, and so forth. So I appreciate that, guys and girls. All right, Brother John.
When I sing this song, I think of Exodus 33:22. If you look in there, you'll see that God put Moses in a cliffed rock so he could walk past him. So this is called Hide Thou Me. Sometimes I feel discouraged. And I think my words in vain. I'm tempted off to murmur, to grumble and complain. But when I think of Jesus, and one He bore for me, and I cry to the rock
Ready. Listen now as the pastor comes.
Thank you, Brother Tim. Thank you, Brother John. Psalm 18 tonight, the 18th Psalm. 18th Psalm, page 606 if you have a Scofield Bible and need the page number. I enjoyed the testimonies tonight. And, of course, whenever we testify, the whole idea of a testifying or testimony is you're saying something about someone, whether it's yourself or somebody else. What would we testify in church? The idea is to talk about Jesus and the Lord. And when you start talking about the Lord, you find yourself probably saying even more than you anticipated, because suddenly you begin to realize, as Miss Lenora said, how involved God then becomes in your life and reminds you of where you've been, where you are, where you want to be. And so it's always good to make sure that the focus of our life. And really, that's kind of what I want to talk about for just a few minutes. This is going to be a very simple message tonight. I was reading in the Psalms, and this, you know, kind of stuck out to me and began to mark in the Bible here. And by the way, I don't think it's sinful to mark in your Bible. I don't think God will hold that against you. Now, if you're drawing pictures and, you know, messing around, that's one thing, but I know you don't do that. But there are actually people who think it's wrong to mark in your Bible. Well, that's fine if you think that way. You know, if you don't want to mark your Bible, that's fine. That's what Paul said. He said, if you're around people who don't want to eat meat, don't eat meat. Don't offend them. So I'll try not to offend you. But as I was reading in the 18th Psalm, notice if you have a Scofield Bible, as we know, Dr. Scofield put some of these headings at the top of these Psalms or these chapters, give us a little overview as best he could. What the chapter's about. Now, there are 50 verses in the chapter, so I'm not going to ask you to stand tonight to read, because I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But notice what it says in that heading. Chief musician, now, of course, we know that was Asaph, was the one who would put music to lyrics. Psalms, probably 95% of them are, in fact, what they are. They're songs. And Scofield gives us an idea of the timing of this song. Notice, it says a psalm of David, so we know who wrote the lyrics. The servant of the Lord who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him
from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So now we realize where this psalm was written. It was written back in the time of 1 Samuel. And so even though it's in the book of Psalms, and remember that all the Bible is not placed in chronological order. That's part of that studying part. So when you're able to figure out, for example, we know that Ezra and Nehemiah are all kind of written towards the minor prophets area of the Bible, and yet they were contemporaries. Ezra and Nehemiah were contemporaries of one another, even though Nehemiah is toward the beginning and Ezra later. Isaiah and Ezekiel were contemporaries of one another. And so even though they may be placed, seems like far apart in the scripture, so maybe that means that time-wise it's the same way. Not necessarily the case. So it's good to kind of keep up with that so you recognize where they're coming from and why they're writing what they're writing. Now, if David just decided one day to write this psalm, it is good. Nothing wrong with it. Once you know why he wrote it, and because he was thankful, that's one reason why I wanted to hear some testimony. I wanted to hear some people talk about being thankful to the Lord. Now notice, we'll start reading in verse number 1, and you'll see the theme here, I think, in just a moment. He said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. And my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Look at verse 3. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Look down in verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. I'll go down to verse 13. Notice it says, the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, stones and coals of fire. Look in verse number 18. He prevented me in the day of my calamity. Lord was my stay. Look in verse 20. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. Verse 21. I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. 24. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands and his eyesight. Verse 28. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The way of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Verse 31. Or who is God save the Lord? Or who is the rock save our God? Down to verse 41. He died, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. And verse 46. The Lord liveth, blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I think now you understand the theme of chapter 18. It's not only David being thankful for God delivering him from the hand of Saul, but in all of that, he recognized the Lord. And you'll notice it wasn't the Lord and somebody else. It wasn't the Lord in another circumstance. But the Lord and somebody close to David was just the Lord. And I want to just show you a couple of things out of these verses about the Lord. Why it is that we ought to focus our lives on the Lord. Notice how the Lord operated in David's life as he retells the story here in the 18th Psalm. Now, by way of introduction, look at verse number 2. We find that this psalm is divided into three parts. Beginning in verse number 1 and going through verse 15, we see God's protection. Notice verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. That speaks of protection. Aren't you glad that you have a God watches out for you and will protect you? You know what? I don't think we'll ever know till we get to heaven how many times God caused us to be late somewhere because he knew there was harm if we were on time. Now, you know, I'm one of those, I hate to be late. I hate traffic. I mean, I don't blow the horn, but I want to. You know, I realize it's crazy, you know, when you're in traffic like that, what are you going to do, you know? Now, wouldn't it be something if sometime somebody could blow their horn and everybody was in on it, and they would blow the horn and everybody would pull over at the same time and let You know, whoever blow the horn wouldn't even be able to move for fear. You know, when that happened. But it's not going to happen, of course. A lot of times folks won't move over when there's not a lot of traffic. But the point is that we have protection. Then notice, if you will, the second part, the second division of the text or the chapter from verse 16 down to verse 20 is actually found in verse 18, where we see God's provision. Look what it says there in verse 18. They prevented me the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. We have provision. God is always there when others won't be. You know, it's not, it is understood in the human existence that we cannot always be there for each other. We cannot be in several places at once. We cannot read minds as God can to be able to determine or decide what we ought to do in a certain situation. We have to respond by reacting. And so we cannot make provision beforehand unless we know what it is. Now the difference is God already knows. He knows everything about us. He's our protection, and He is our provision. Do you realize that every day you live, God has already predetermined what you need? And it's not like He's waiting for a circumstance or you to do something in your life so that He can decide. You know, that's the way we do a lot of times. We have things we want to do, but it depends on the circumstance. It depends on whether or not the person, and many times in our own sight, deserves it or not. Or we wait and see the outcome of something, then we can determine where to go from there. Well, that's the whole great thing about God is He doesn't have to wait until we do something. He's already in front of it. He's already way out in front of it. He already has our eternity planned. I mean, God already, and you talk about provision, right? We think of provision as food and raiment, things like that. But what about peace of mind? You ever experienced the peace of mind in God? Well, you can expect the peace of God, of course. But I'm talking about, you ever had peace of mind? When something has come up and you're not sure how to handle it, then God sort of intervenes like He always does. And then all of a sudden you feel relaxed. You feel like, well, it's going to work. That's peace of mind. That's a provision that we have. When's the last time you ever remember praying and thanking God for peace of mind? You know, there's so many things that we could thank and should thank God for that we don't even really comprehend. And one of them, I think, is, and He provides that peace of mind. He provides comfort, not just comfort in times of real need and necessity. How about just satisfaction? You ever been just, now, again, and I, the only person I really can use as an example is me, I guess, because I'm around me all the time. But I've said this before. There have been so many times over the last while, and maybe because I'm getting older, I don't know. But I will be sitting in my house, and just all of a sudden, this overwhelming desire, I'll stop what I'm doing and talk out loud and say, God, thank You for this. I mean, it's not the prettiest house on the block. It needs a lot of work, and I got to get out in the yard and do a lot of yard work. I kind of hope maybe the Lord will kind of take care of that too, but He doesn't do that. But I just look around and I think, man, I'm comfortable. I'm covered. I'm content. I mean, what else is there? Oh, I know we all have wants and desires. I understand that. But really and truly, Jesus said, if you've got food and raiment, what else is there? And look how much more we have. You understand what I'm saying? There's more to the provision thing than just getting things. It's the fact that you've already got things, and so the things that many times we take for granted. And then we sit back and go, oh, what I have. All of a sudden you realize, and guess where it came from? It came from God. Now, look at the third little division. That's from verse 21 down to the end of the chapter. And here we find in verse 30 God's perfection. And that's why we can have His provision and His protection, because we serve a perfect God. Look what it says in verse 30. It says, as for God, His way is perfect. And then notice, the word of the Lord is tried. Now, He's not talking about us trying it. He's talking about God has already proven all of this before He gave it to us. When God gave His word, He proved it. He tried it. And what I mean by that is He put it to the test in the eternity past, and He came to the conclusion, rightfully so, that His word was perfect. You know why? Because he's perfect. Because his nature is perfect. His character is perfect. Everything about him is 100% perfect. And so I can count on his, not mine, not yours. We can count on his perfection. Now, David now is beginning to, and I showed you 13 verses, 13 places in this text of 50 verses where he says or refers to the Lord. Now, I want to look and show you a couple things. I just wrote these down. I'll give them to you and we'll go home. Notice, and I titled this, It's the Lord. That's all. It's the Lord. You know why we're here tonight? The Lord. You know why you have clothes to wear? Lord. Do you know why your car got you here safely? The Lord. Why you got a home to go to afterwards? The Lord. You know why we can fellowship with God's people and enjoy being around one another? It's the Lord. Notice, if you would, real quickly, in verse number 2. Notice in verse number 16. He, talking about the Lord. Now remember, all this is referring to the Lord. He sent from above. Now notice, he took me. He took me. I got to thinking about that, where God has taken me in my lifetime. Where God has taken me. Not where I've taken my family. Not where the church has taken me. But where God, everywhere I've been, has been God taking me. I narrowed that down a little, and I wrote down that speaks of the Lord's conversion. What do you mean, preacher? Would you be saved at all if God had not shown up and saved you? If somebody is saved from drowning, you know what they do? They take them out of the water. Now, it's possible that in the interim, they'll throw them a life preserver. Or they'll swim out to them and try to assist them that way. But at some point, when someone is struggling, have to be taken out. Right? I mean, if you're in a car accident and you're pinned in your car, the one thing you want more than anything else is to get out. Somebody, you watch the, Judy and I were watching the Daytona 500. When Ryan Newman had that bad, we were watching it when it happened. And I knew that something was bad because we flipped over another car at about 130 miles an hour, hit him on his side. And I'm telling you, man, I don't care how safe those cars are, that's rough going. And thankfully, he's okay. But for a long time, they said that they had to do so many things before they could get him out. Things have to happen for he could get out. Think about when you got saved. Some things had to happen before you got saved. Number one, you had to realize you were caught. You were lost. You were stuck in your sin. You couldn't get out on your own if you wanted to. You needed somebody to come along and take you out. And there was somebody. They talked about this safety crew that, you know, was right on the scene, you know, and they put out the fire and they began to extricate him from the car. They had to flip it back over. So many, and you know, they were talking about, oh, these guys are experts at getting people out of cars in situations such as this. I want you to know there's only one expert who knows how to get you out of that lost condition you found yourself in, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So when it's the Lord in our conversion. Nobody else. Him. Look, if you would, in verse 17, or no, the latter part of verse 16. He sent from above, he took me, then notice, he brew me out. Now, you got to understand that this is not referring necessarily like I've used the illustration about the race car driver, because when they got to him, he could not get himself out. They had to reach in physically and pull him out. In fact, they said they for a while he was even unconscious, so was not able to get himself out necessarily. And so that bunch had to go in and get him out, pull him out, physically move him. Well, for you to get saved and I to get saved, or, listen, or do anything for God after we are saved, it has to be the Lord who does not physically force you, but according to the Word of God, He draws us. On 6:44, if you're going to get saved, you have to be drawn by the Spirit of God. Hey, if you're going to serve the Lord, anybody here ever been forced to serve God? Now, you might be shamed into serving God if you don't. And God's Word does that. The Holy Spirit can do that. You understand where I'm going here? After that conversion, then we see the Lord in our conviction. That's what drew us to Calvary. If you didn't know you needed to get saved, you wouldn't have bothered doing it, right? Come on now. I'm just talking tonight. I know this may not be no, you know, whiz-banger of a sermon, but I'm just trying to help you here. We need to understand every day that it is the Lord, period. Not the Lord and blank. It's the Lord, period, and the blank comes afterwards from Him. So then notice the third thing. Not only is He the Lord in our conversion and in our conviction, but then notice in verse 17, He delivered me. He put us somewhere where we could not put ourselves. You know why the mailman comes by your house every day? Because the mail can't deliver itself. He said, oh, that's just silly. The truth. And you realize that you and I, even as Christians, we cannot deliver ourselves. We can't put ourselves in places for God to use us. We have to give ourselves to God and let Him put us. What did David himself say? He said, He snatched my feet out of the miry clay. That's his conversion. And then He set my feet upon a rock. Amen? See, that goes beyond his conversion. That goes to his consecration. He drew me, and then He delivered me, my strong enemy. Consecration is not a Pentecostal word. It is a Bible word, and it simply means set apart. Once God saved you, He wants you to be in a different location. Not necessarily a physical location, but you don't want to be here. Listen, when a drowning man gets rescued, if it was me, I wouldn't want to go back in the water. I wouldn't do it. Or at least that water. If I was in a certain spot, a lake or someplace, and I was in trouble, and I got rescued, and somebody said, let's go to the lake, I wouldn't want to go to that one. I might be dumb enough to go to another one, but I don't go to that one. Because it's got, hey, listen, you read? It's got bad memories. I don't understand how people can be saved and supposedly removed from that old life and still enjoy it. And still look forward to going back to it. That's not saved. That's salved. That's just getting by. And God, I don't want to just get by. I want to serve God. I know it's the Lord in my conversion and nothing else. I know it's the Lord in my conviction. I know it's the Lord in my consecration. Notice verse 19. Notice the Bible said, He brought me. He brought me. And can you imagine that God would love us enough to even be with us? You know what happens when the Lord is with us? That speaks of His confirmation. Now, you know, the Catholic folks, when a child turns 12, they say that's the age of accountability. Well, there's no proof, there's no biblical proof of that at all. Samuel was much younger than 12 when God called him in Eli's house. The age of knowing good and evil happens, and being able to make your decision, yes or no, for Jesus, happens at all different ages. That's why we should never discourage children from moving. Now, it's true that maybe they did not, but I'd rather them come. My pastor says it all the time, and I agree. I don't care if they come 100 times. On the 101st time, it's real. That's what matters. That's what matters, you see. Hey, and God saved us and separated us and wants to use us, and then He confirms that. How many folks here have ever had prayer answered? That you know He did, and you could describe it if you had to. You know what that is? That's confirmation, isn't it? That's you being able to say, I know it works. I know it happened. Oh, really? You don't really believe that. Yeah, you do. For the person who God answers the prayer for, I guarantee you they believe that. Don't have any trouble believing that. I don't have any trouble believing you when you talk about God answering prayer. You know why? Because God has confirmed that in my life. And I've seen Him answer prayer in my life. So then the Lord, it was the Lord who took me. He drew me out. He delivered me. He brought me. And then notice in verse 20, the Lord rewarded me. How about that? It goes from confirmation to, I'm sorry, I skipped one, didn't I? Yes, I did. We're in verse 19. I did. I'm sorry. He delighted in me. That speaks of His consideration. You realize that every time you go to God, He considers you. Have you ever done this or had it done to you? We all have, so I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But someone either approach us or us approach somebody and they just kind of brush us off. Or you brush them off. At that moment, you or they feel like whatever it is with you is not important. You realize when you go to God, you're never not important. That's a double negative, I know. Bad English, but it's good preaching. We are always under consideration. The Bible said, the arm of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot save, and his ear too heavy that he cannot hear. And that phrase, too heavy, means he's not hearing so much that there's too much background noise and he can't focus on you. The ear is never too heavy. If everybody in the world is praying to God, he'd hear you. And guess what? He wouldn't say, get in line. He'd consider you. He'd listen. And then, in verse 20, the Lord rewarded me. That speaks of congratulation. You know, you don't really ever, when I wrote that word in the margin of my Bible, I thought, well, Lord, is there a better word than that? Because really don't ever expect to hear God say, congratulations. That's a word that we use to honor someone for getting some kind of a goal or making somewhere. Say, congratulations. That's a good word. Why can't God use that word? Now, in the Bible, it's said this way, enter into the joy of my salvation. You know what he's saying? Congratulations, you made it. Glory. Now, the great thing is, as we sung a little while ago, we don't have to wait to get there to be congratulated. If you're really born again, he's already congratulated you. My hope is built on nothing less. I've got hope. Not the kind that says, we'll see what happens, but the kind that says, I can't wait till it does. In the meantime, when you do something for God, big or small, inside of you, somebody appreciates it. And I'll tell you, that's the Lord. The Lord. And then look at verse, where am I at here? All right, verse 20. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath he recompensed me. Now the word recompense speaks to payment, payback. I wrote in the margin of my Bible is this. It's the conclusion. How's this thing going to end? With us receiving. Jesus said, when the rapture, now by the way, this is good for you, for your eschatology. The judgment seat of Christ, when Christians are judged for their works, from the time they get saved till the time they die or the rapture takes place, the judgment seat of Christ will happen immediately after the rapture of the church. So if the rapture happened right now, the next thing that would happen after we get to heaven and get our new bodies and all that, then the judgment seat of Christ for us. But all of that has to be taken care of before we can go to the marriage supper, which occurs during the 7 years of tribulation. So that's logical, isn't it? Here it is. Joaquin talking about being a handyman. He goes and does the job. Here's the little old lady to death at the porch. But when he got done, you know what he said? Here's your bill. Now listen. So he said, man, boy, God answered that prayer. God showed up. And I went, woo! And then he said, here's your bill. You know, some people think, well, man, if you were so full of God right then, you should have done it for free. That's not the way it works. I mean, I'm sorry, it's not. You know that's right. But when that customer gives him a check or some cash or however that is, and it's over, they shake hands, the job is finished. He's been recompensed, and the job is now at a conclusion. Guess what? When we, this is so hard to almost wrap your head around. When we get to the marriage supper of the Lamb, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, what we're going to get? Rewards. God's actually going to give us rewards. Now, if we didn't serve him, he's going to take them away. And by the way, that's fair, isn't it? It's fair. But why should we get anything? That's the fact that I don't have to go to hell. It's recompense enough. But he's such a mighty God. And by the way, that's the Lord. That's nobody in your life that you know of that would treat you that way. But he does. When it's all said and done, we have, now you know what's going to happen. And we get those rewards, don't you? And I think rightfully so. We're just going to give them all back. What do we need them for? Well, you know, we want to be able to walk around with crowns. And the Bible does talk about us getting certain crowns. There are five crowns that are given, and they will be given. And it will be a point of honor between you and God. But then when we go into heaven, we're going to walk around with crowns hanging off our belt and, you know, changing a crown every day like a ball cap or something. No, we're not going to do that. We're just going to give them all back to him. You know why? Because he's the Lord. David said, he's the Lord. And so will we at the end of this thing of life. What a day that's going to be. When we come, and there is an ending. There is a conclusion to that. We're just waiting. It's really all we're doing, folks. We're just waiting for God to bring it to a conclusion. We can't do it. If I thought I could control and hit a button and do the rapture, I'd done it already. I don't have that power. Every day when you wake up in the morning, you think about this. God is in control of when. And here's a biblical principle to help you with this. That is, will not come back until the bride is complete. What that means? The next person you happen to win to Jesus will be the last one. Can you imagine standing before the Lord and Him remind you, by the way, all of this is happening because you won that last person. You brought him to me. That was it. Now here we are. Now, that's not going to make you any bigger in heaven or any, you know, it's not like you're going to get a sash or, you know, something like that or put on your house, you know. He won the last one. Can you imagine just hearing God say it? You won the last one. Now we're here. It's the Lord, folks. Can you go out of here saying it's the Lord. And trouble comes. You know what Job said when all his trouble came? Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm excited about what God has done and what He's going to do, not just in my life, but in your life too. That's why I like to hear you testify. I like to hear about, you know, like I said, some people would hear Joaquin's testimony and say, that's just kind of childish. But to him, it wasn't. I mean, it was good enough that he shouted. I've done something good for you that you just had to say, woo, even if you didn't do it out loud. You know He has. Just go out of here. Listen, now in the Lord's day, if Jesus doesn't come first, just go out bragging on the Lord. Live the Lord. Talk about the Lord. Give out tracts for the Lord. Sing a song to the Lord. See what I'm saying? And then come back Sunday and let's worship the Lord. He's worth it. We love you tonight.
Lord, a pretty simple message. Lord, I'm thankful that in my soul you revealed to me that when the Lord is in my life, everything about my life, I know, as Paul said later, I am what I am by the grace of God. He was really repeating in New Testament language what David wrote in the 18th Psalm. It's the Lord. I'm king because of the Lord. I'm here because of the Lord. I'm rescued from Saul because of the Lord. Not because of Joab, not because of my daring do, but because the Lord protected me. I'm here. Listen, the Lord kept me from, helped me to destroy Goliath. The Lord helped. It was the Lord that gave me strength to kill that lion and that bear that came after my sheep. It's the Lord who gave me the talent to play that musical instrument so that Saul, when his spirit was besieged by Satan, that he could play that harp or that musical instrument and it would soothe and calm King Saul. And all of that got David to the place where eventually he became the king of Israel. Not because of David's talent, not because of David's might, not because of his military prowess. No, it was the Lord. Lord, whatever we have, whatever we are, whatever we do in this life, we can never take 1 ounce of credit for it. We have to say, thank the Lord. It's the Lord. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Lord. I wouldn't have it if it wasn't for the Lord. Oh God, help us to focus on the Lord and take our eyes off of this old wicked world. Bless the moment of invitation. Thank you for folks being faithful to come here on Wednesday night. I hope it was a blessing. I hope they got fed a little bit. Maybe it wasn't but nothing but a snack. But I hope it's good enough for them to chew on for a day or two till God shows them something out of His Word or they come back Sunday and God really feed them. Lord, thank you for this time together. Bless the invitation in Christ's name. Amen.